Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Amen. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, listen to this, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou filledest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. This is the clincher. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Lift your hand with me a moment. Lord, I love you. What a great solemn warning. Thank you, Lord. Help us to take heart to this. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What I want to preach on is a warning to the Pentecostal and Holiness churches. A warning. The passage that I read to you is referred to as the Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel. Probably is the most revered passage to the Hebrew people. They recite this passage in their morning and evening prayers. It's contained in all of their worship services. It is considered the highlight of the entire law as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. The Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel. And that's what that means. Now, contained in that, you may say, what's that got to do with you and I who are Pentecostal and holiness people? I believe it has everything to do with you and I. Amen. Amen. Because amen, the things that we find in the Word of God, amen, were written for our examples. Amen. That we would learn not to lust after the things they lusted for. Amen. That we would learn not to harden our hearts. Amen. That we would learn, amen, to yield ourselves, amen, to the Lord God Almighty, amen, and not fall into the same pits that Israel fell into. Amen. So, it has everything to do with us. And I constantly run into people say, how can you apply a scripture that was directed to Israel, to the church? Amen. But Paul over and over again, amen, tells us that those things are there that we might learn from it. Amen. Hallelujah. We must understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 said, these things were for our example. Over and over again, the example of Israel is placed in front of the church. And we are told to learn from the bad and the good examples that we find in the Old Testament. Amen. God help us this morning that we would understand as a people that we're living in the third and the fourth generation of a modern holiness and Pentecostal revival. And if we're not careful, we will forget the Lord that brought us out, and we will find ourselves in danger. Amen. Hallelujah. God help us this morning. It is important that we carefully examine ourselves Beware, he says in verse 12, lest thou forget the Lord. Amen. This is the clincher. This is the whole focus of the Shema Israel. He told them, amen, you have been given cities you didn't build. You've been given vineyards you didn't plant. You've been given houses you didn't build. You've been given wells that you didn't dig. He said, you better not forget where you came from, as if you do, you'll forget the Lord God. And if you forget Him, it's all over with.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Folks, we're living there right now. Years ago, I was in a major Pentecostal denomination. 25 years ago, and I left. Believe me, it was a tough time. I couldn't stay no more. My conscience would not allow, amen, for me to remain and support that. Amen. Somebody said, why? Amen. Because I'm answerable to this God. Hallelujah. Amen. At one time, that organization was a mighty revival movement. At one time, they stood for righteousness. At one time, they had a heart for evangelism. At one time, our heartbeat, amen, was the Holy Ghost. Amen. But today, it's but a shell of what it once was. And the reason is they forgot their root. They forgot where they came from. They forgot the danger of forgetting God.
Amen.
The greatest danger to Israel, amen, when this was given, was success. The greatest enemy was prosperity. We see this over and over again in the Bible. Amen. Hard times is not our enemy. It's good times that are our enemy. Amen. Whenever you have a pocket full of money, you're more in danger then than you are when you're at the altar praying for God to meet your need.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Times will get good and people will stop praying. They begin to spend their leisure time pursuing fleshly lust and they forget God. It's no different today in the Pentecostal church. Amen. At one time, we were the little church on the other side of the tracks. One time, they wouldn't sell land to the Pentecostal people. If you wanted to buy land, you had to buy it, amen, on the bad side of town. They wouldn't give you a permit to build one of your Holy Roller churches.
Right, come on.
But now the Pentecostal churches, they've arrived.
Yeah.
They're uptown now. They're sitting on the councils.
Yeah.
Come on. They're in the ministerial alliance.
Come on.
Amen. When I first became a pastor 25 years ago, they called me about being in a ministerial alliance. And I'm 24 years old. I don't know a whole lot. I just started pastoring here. I'm a 24-year-old kid. They said, we'll give you a free breakfast. Well, man, that's a way to a preacher's heart. Meet us at, you know, whatever, 7 o'clock in the morning over here at this hotel. They got a big breakfast bar, buffet. Man, I said, I'm going to go. I told my wife, I'm going to that. I don't know what a ministerial alliance is. Hallelujah. And the Assembly of God pastor called me. And at that time, that's what I was. So I said, well, I'm going to go get that free breakfast. Man, it sounds good. I showed up that morning. I got there kind of early. And I went in there and there's that pastor that called me. We're talking, chit-chat a little bit. Amen. Another AG preacher come in. We're talking. I'm feeling pretty good about everything. And I went and got my plate and began to fill it up. And a Baptist pastor come in. That's all right. I can deal with that. Amen. You know, another preacher come in. No big deal. Amen. I've got my plate all full. And I walk over and sit at the table. And the Catholic priest walked in.
Come on.
I didn't listen to Brother Clendenin since I was little.
Yeah.
He told me don't eat with them Catholics. He said they're idolaters.
Come on.
Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. He told me, he warned me about them. Amen. He told me all about it. I heard that all my life. And I got a full plate of food. And sitting at the table. And I'm going to tell you, I never saw such a carrying on over a man in my life. Then preachers began to just Paul all over him. Oh, it's so good to have you here, Father. We're so glad you're here. We're so honored to have you. We didn't know you was going to come. And I'm sitting there, I'm turning green. I don't know what to do. I don't want to make a fool out of myself. I'm the youngest one there. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. He sits down at the table. We all begin to, amen, sit there. Amen. And they said, Father, why don't you pray the prayer over the meal? It's getting worse by the minute. And I bowed my head. I'm green in the face. He said, Our Father which art in heaven. He ain't praying a prayer. He's reciting something from memory. Come on, somebody. I'm just telling you the truth. I dumped that food down the best I was able to, and I got out of there as quick as I could. I said, there ain't no more ministerial alliance for this boy. Amen. I don't belong on that side of the track. Amen. I've been birthed of God. I'm not a part, amen, of this world system. I'm not a part of that religious system. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We were born for higher things than that. Hallelujah. Amen. We've arrived today. Psychologists and sociologists tell us there's an explosion of growth in the spirit-filled type churches. They say in just a few years there could be as many as 1 billion. 1 billion tongue-talking people on earth. Now we know good and well that ain't all God's church. Man, if you could say 1/6 or 1/7 of the planet was the church of the living God, that'd be a pretty good thing. But we know good and well that's not the way it is. Amen. I'm going to tell you folks, amen, the mega churches, almost 90-something percent of them are all tongue-talking churches. We've arrived. We look successful. We look big. Amen. But I'm telling you, they forgot God. They forgot Him. It shall be when the Lord God shall have brought you into the land. He'll give you good things. Give you wells you didn't dig. Vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. Cities to live in that you didn't build. You will be full. You will eat well. Amen. But beware lest you forget God. I want you to know the Pentecostal and Holiness churches were living in cities we didn't build. Come on. Hallelujah. There are those that blaze the trail for us, brother.
Amen.
I'm only a second generation. My mama, thank God, found the Lord when I was just a little baby.
Amen.
I'm only a second generation. And there's a lot I didn't know. I stumbled around trying to find my way. I didn't have good guides and good people to tell me what I needed to do. It was hard. Amen. I didn't have it. When I told my pastor I was called to preach, amen, he said, what you need to do is go to Bible college.
Yeah.
It'd have been better if he'd have told me to fast and pray. But I didn't get that kind of advice. Amen. I had to stumble around and I had to find my way. And I thank God when you're hungry for God, God will have you cross paths with people that'll help you. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. We're living in cities we didn't build.
Amen.
We're preaching in churches we didn't build. A lot of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're enjoying the benefits of the pioneers that went ahead of us.
Right.
That blazed the trail. Amen. That established, amen, the kingdom of God here in America. Amen. The churches. Amen. I'm thankful. Amen. For those that went ahead of me.
Amen.
We're living in full houses that we didn't fill. The Pentecostal house is full, folks. Acts chapter 2 says there was a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house. And it said that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. God gave you and I a full house. A Pentecostal house is full of grace. It's full of power. It's full of love. It's full of holiness. It's full of joy. It's full of the presence of God Almighty. Amen. We're living in houses that we didn't fill.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Am I preaching the truth this morning?
Yes.
We're drinking from wells we didn't dig. When God gave Israel the promised land, they received a land that had already been tamed. They received a land where all the hard work had already been done. Somebody had already got out there with a shovel and a pickaxe and had beat that old hard ground. and chipped all the rocks out of the way and dug for days and days where the fingers would bleed. When they come home, their fingers would bleed. Their bodies were racked with pain and weariness. The next day they'd be out there again chipping away. They'd dig that well. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And there come a day God gave it to them on a silver platter. Come on. Am I talking about us this morning? How do I want you to know God blessed us? Aren't we blessed? I said, aren't we blessed? Hallelujah. Somebody else did the hard work, but Israel reaped the benefits. Now don't mistake me. They had to fight and they had to war. Amen. But God gave them a promised land. We want to compare the promised land to heaven. I don't have no problem with that. Most of the songs tend to go that direction. But in reality, the promised land, a better description of that would be the Spirit-filled life. Because when I get to heaven, I don't expect to find any sons of Anak. Well, glory. I don't expect to find any Amalekites and Perizzites and Jebusites. Come on, somebody. Amen. When I get to heaven, I believe all them battles will already be won. So I believe the promised land, a better symbol of that would be the baptism of the Holy Ghost. His Spirit-filled life that you and I are a part of. I want you to know that is our blessing. It's been handed to us. Amen. God, by His grace, has given us this. Hallelujah. Vineyards and olive trees we didn't plant, Brother Persinger. Israel received a cultivated land that had been farmed and planted with the choicest of plants. The grapes of the vine and the olive tree were both types of the Holy Ghost, representing both the anointing and the joy. When God gave us our spiritual Cana, the promised land, He gave us an inheritance flowing with oil and wine. What an inheritance. Hallelujah. But He goes on to tell them, when thou hast eaten and be full. That's when the danger sets in. You know, the most vulnerable time for any church is right after revival.
Come on, brother.
Right after camp meeting.
That's right. Come on.
Right after youth camp. That's when you're at your most vulnerable. Because you begin to think, I worked so hard last week. I prayed in the altars.
Come on.
I ran up and down the aisle. Man, I amen the preacher. I was living right. I was being convicted and giving up things all week long. And now I'm just going to take it easy for a while. I'm eating and I'm full now. And that's when the enemy comes in and finds us vulnerable. That's when he begins to sow discord in the church. That's when he begins to divide and conquer. Because we're not ready. Amen. I want you to know, folks, the only way to stay victorious is to stay on the edge at all times. The only way to maintain victory is always stay in a readiness, amen, to fight.
Come on. That's right.
Battle readiness. It must not be something we conjure up or pull up in a time of need. It must be the state of the church at all times.
Amen.
Battle ready. Hallelujah. He said, when thou hast eaten and are full.
Right.
Hallelujah. I almost sit back in my recliner. I just ate a big old plate of biscuits and gravy. Man, I'm living it up. And you know, I'm not going to worry about prayer meeting tonight. I prayed enough last week. I'm not going to worry about reading my Bible. My goodness, I read the whole book of Isaiah last week.
Come on.
Woo! I'm going to take it easy. God knows I deserve it. When thou hast eaten and are full. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Hallelujah. Amen. The real danger is not when you're fighting the devil. The real danger is after you fought and won. And you begin to sit back on your laurels. And you say, it's all made up now. I can take my ease. Amen. But in that moment, you become a big target for the enemy. I'm telling you, we in our Pentecostal and holiness churches must not sit back. We must push harder than we've ever pushed. The religious Pentecostal feels as if he has arrived. He's the big dog now. He can rub elbows with the Episcopalian, the Lutheran, and even the Catholic. Yet in that place, they have become a victim rather than a victor. Amen. What made us what we are was our unwillingness to conform to this world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's a few things I just want to talk about briefly. Beware the loss of these things. Number one, beware the loss of our Pentecostal purity. Matthew 5 and 8 said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Everybody's seeking for power. What they ought to be seeking for is purity.
That's right.
Amen. Once we have purity, we will have power.
That's right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, folks, we live in a time, amen, it never fails to boggle my mind how Pentecostal and holiness preachers, amen, can regurgitate out all that junk that's on the radio and tell us we're a bunch of saved sinners. We can't help sinning. Amen. We're doomed to fail. I want you to know that's a loss of purity. Amen. At one time, none of us believed that. We believed that the blood of Jesus was sufficient to break the bonds of sin and set us free. I believe it still.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Purity is inward holiness and sanctification. What we need in our Pentecostal churches is pure hearts.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Unfortunately, most people today believe that sin is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just the other day, I posted something on Facebook. Now, some of you may not do that, but I do anyhow. Amen. And I said, the mark of a Christian is an overcoming life.
Yes, sir.
And if you're not an overcomer, can you call yourself a Christian?
Come on.
I'm going to tell you who came against me on that. Preachers. One of them told me I was blaspheming. I said, "You mean I'm blaspheming because I tell Christians they ought to be overcomers? Can you imagine such a thing?" He said, "There ain't but one overcomer. That's Jesus." I said, "But if I'm in Him, I'm going to model myself after Him." Amen. Don't tell me that we can't be an overcomer. I said, "The Bible says you better be an overcomer or He's going to take your candle away."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, glory. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith.
Oh, yes.
Woo, hallelujah. But this is the mindset today. Purity is an impossibility. But I want you to know, purity is a work of God in me that continues after I get up from that altar. Amen. I can walk in purity. I can walk in holiness. Amen. Come on. God enables me through His grace to do so. It's still a work of God. But it's a work of man with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number two, beware of the loss of Pentecostal peculiarity. 1 Peter 2 and 9, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." All of the past history of the holiness and Pentecostal churches proves that we never fit into that world. The modern Pentecostal revival did not come out of Calvinism or Arminianism. It came out of a people that were holy, a people that were seeking to please Him.
Amen.
The modern Pentecostal and charismatics of today are tattooed, pierced, dyed, powdered, kinked, and puffed just like everyone else. Even one young man that grew up in our church left it, went to a Assembly of God church down the road from us, and he come back and visited in a revival. Had him a tattoo of a cross. So how'd you get that? He said, "Well, when any of the boys turn 18 in our youth group, the youth pastor takes them down and buys their first tattoo." Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine such a thing? I'm going to tell you, we knew that was wrong. I said, we knew that was wrong. We knew that we were the temple of the Holy Ghost and that we're not to alter this temple. We knew that we represented the King. I don't care if you want to put Jesus on there or a cross. Ain't no business in the church doing that. I know some of you had a past before you met Christ. We all did. Amen. You can't help that. But now that I'm in the blood, I've got to live like somebody that's walking in His presence.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Back tractor churches, cowboy churches, come on. Amen. Everybody's trying to make Jesus into what they are. It's time for us to be what He is and quit trying to make Him who we are. He's not a biker. He's not a cowboy. He's not a surfer. He's the Holy of Holies. Woo. Hallelujah. Pentecostal people, so-called Pentecostal people, go to the same theaters, watch the same television shows, laugh at the same dirty jokes, play the same violent video games, read the same magazines and books. I dare say, what is it about them that makes them different than those out there? Number three, beware the loss of Pentecostal power. The Greek word for power we know is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. Our power is not derived from our personalities. Our power is not the product of Pentecostal celebrities. Who would ever thought preachers would become celebrities? That's where we're at. Hallelujah. Amen. I just told the other day of a young lady. All she wanted for her birthday was a call from Jimmy Swaggart. And they arranged it. Come on, somebody. What in the world?
Come on.
Just about to pass out on the phone. Oh. Isn't that sickening? People go into these TBN celebrity preachers and getting their autographs. Can you imagine such a thing? That's one thing I loved about Brother Clendenin. He was just Brother Clendenin. Known all over the world, but he was never a celebrity.
Amen.
He wouldn't dare let you treat him like that. He could sit down and talk with anybody.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right.
Who'd ever thought we'd get to that place? Preachers become celebrities now. Flying in their own personal Lear jets.
Yeah.
Picked up at the airport by a limousine. Ushered to the gourmet restaurant. Ushered to the meeting. Amen. Red carpet rolled out. They walks in like kings and queens. Everybody's falling at their feet and fainting. I said, Jesus is disgusted by the whole thing. His heart is broken over the whole mess. Amen. Don't you think for one moment, brother and sister, that that's a part of this kingdom. That's a part of the kingdom of hell that has no place in the body of Christ. Any man or woman of God, if they're going to really be a man or woman of God, they're going to be humble.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Our power is not derived from our money. Most of us don't have none here. Our power is not derived from our real estate and our facilities. Our power is not... Can you... Today, the modern... I think the right word here. I hate that. You're getting older and the words just leave you. The modern ideology of evangelism is build it and they will come. That's it. Whoever can build the biggest, fanciest, nicest looking facility will draw the crowds. It works. But they're not drawing people to the cross. They're not drawing people to a real repentant relationship with Jesus. All they're doing is filling buildings with tares. Hallelujah. But that's the modern ideology today. Build it and they will come. Amen. I want you to know there's nowhere in this Bible are we ever told to build anything to draw the lost. Amen. If we're going to draw the lost, we got to go to where they are. And we got to bring the gospel to them. We can't expect them to come to every service we have. We have to go and take the gospel to them. Pentecostal power. Our power is not derived from our own cleverness, our education. It's derived from the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, we have no power. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
The initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in unknown tongues.
Amen.
But the ongoing physical evidence of the baptism is a life of holiness and power. Hallelujah. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, we must get beyond just tongue talking and start walking in the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number four, beware the loss of the Pentecostal pioneer spirit. I hadn't heard many preachers talk about this, but I've been beating on this drum now for about 10 years. One of the things that helped define us in modern times was that Pentecostal pioneer spirit. Man, we wasn't afraid to do anything. We built a church in the gates of hell.
Come on.
They said it couldn't be done, we'd go. Man, there's missionaries back at the turn of the 20th century. They didn't have enough money just to buy the fare on the ship to take them to Africa. Don't have another dime left. They get on that boat with no money, no food. Nothing but a call of God on their life. And they'd step off on a strange continent, don't know the language, don't have no money, don't have any contacts, and they turn the world upside down. Hallelujah. Nowadays, you can't get most to go out and travel and do revivals unless they got a fifth wheel and a big truck and everything just perfect. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you're never going to do anything for God with that soft idea. You just got to load up. If God said, go, go. If God said, buy a train ticket, buy it. If God said, get on the plane, go. He'll make a way. Amen. We're pioneers. Hallelujah. Lillian Thrasher, a lot of you have heard her story, Brother Clinton, and would tell it, how that she was engaged to get married in a couple of weeks and went down to the altar that morning to pray, and God spoke to her and said, I'm calling you to be a missionary to Africa. She's got that engagement ring on her finger. She's fixing to say I do to this man in a couple of weeks. She went back there and sat down beside him, leaned over and whispered in his ear, God just called me to Africa. He said, well, if you go, you'll go without me. And she said, sir, I left you at that altar. That's a woman of God. Whoo! She never married. Here's a single woman that gets on a ship with her sister with nothing and goes to Africa, lands in Egypt, and begins to build orphanages with no support. Come on, no contacts. And there she spends her entire life raising children and telling them about this God.
Amen.
I said, oh God, you'll do it again. Somebody said, I can't do nothing for God. I don't have the support. I don't have the money. I'm a woman. I'm a man. I'm this. I'm that. Amen. Come on. Amen. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, we've got to take the risk. We cannot always play it safe. We cannot always have everything the way we want it. Amen. Those that do things for God are those that dare to step out and walk on the water. You cannot do anything unless you take faith and do it.
Amen.
Today we have nice churches, cold air conditioning, plush carpet, padded pews, fine-grained altars, beautiful pulpits, dandy clothes to wear, new cars, church bulletins, pastors' offices with big desks, bookshelves full of the latest religious books, but we are comfortable. What are we doing for God? Very few people have a pioneer spirit anymore. They look for an easy church to attend that has nice facilities, a program for each of the ages of their children. Amen. Come on. You start a brand new work, you're going to be a lonely man.
Come on.
Have them all the time. Show up. What kind of programs do you have here for our kids? That's it. Jesus.
Amen.
Whew. What do you got for the divorcees? What do you got for the this, that, the other? The singles. The ones that don't want to be single. You know, they got a group for everything. We don't have anything but Christ.
That's right.
That's it. We don't have any. We don't have children's church. I preach against children's church. We do have children's church. It's the same one that we have. All of us are in.
That's right. Well,
glory. Hallelujah. Last thing I want is the Holy Ghost to fall and tongues and interpretation and people getting healed and delivered and the kids be off in some back room in there. Amen. Come on. Playing foosball. Throwing the little ball into a hoop. I want them out there seeing what God's doing. Hallelujah. Hey, come on somebody. Woo. Hallelujah. Beware the loss of the Pentecostal pioneer spirit. If we're going to regain the intensity of the book of Acts, then we're going to have to launch out and pioneer again. What we need in America right now is 10,000 new holiness churches started right now. That's what we do. You know, I go preach in churches, there'd be 15, 20 preachers sitting out there. Some of them been preaching for 20 years. What in the world's going on here? I'm scratching my head. The world's going to hell, and everybody's sitting out there instead of doing what God called them to do. They're all sitting there saying, "Oh, I just wish that pastor would throw me that mic. I just wish he'd give me that microphone." Isn't that pathetic? Come on. I don't have no place to preach. I ain't preached but one message in the last year. Isn't that pathetic? They're waiting on somebody else to hand it to them. Be a pioneer. Go out there and preach on the street corner. Go to the nursing home. Go to the jail. Go to the prison. Go out there and rent you a little building and start a work. People are going to hell. Our nation's in trouble and preachers are doing nothing. It's got to break God's heart. Hallelujah. There's no excuse for that. What we need today, Brother Persinger, we need circuit riding preachers. Woo! Come on, somebody. We need 6-week revivals again. We need more camp meetings, more brush arbor meetings. We need some tents put up. We need more street preaching, college campus preaching. We need all night prayer meetings. We need days and weeks of fasting and prayer. We need a return of the prayer meeting. We need some holy rollers. We need door-to-door evangelism. We need travail in the altars with moaning and groaning. We need tears on our altars. We need repentance meeting. We need preachers dripping wet and preaching their heart out. We need more churches. Amen. Come on, somebody. That are preaching the truth. Amen. We need preaching on holiness. Come on. We need the pioneer spirit.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Oh, hallelujah. Lord, just give me a little more voice. Hallelujah. Number 5, beware the loss of Pentecostal passion. Now, listen to me. Don't mistake what I'm saying here. But the word passion is closely linked to anointing, but also emotion, zeal. Preachers, we must feel what we preach.
Yes, sir.
We cannot glibly speak about this God.
Right.
There must be passion in our voices.
Yeah.
And there's some worry about emotionalism, and I believe there's some legitimate concern there. But we must feel what God feels, and we must speak with that feeling. Those listening to us to preach are not going to believe a word we say if we don't feel it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This gospel is my life.
Yes, sir.
I feel everything I'm preaching to you this morning. A salesman knocks on my door to sell me a vacuum cleaner. He says, "I want you to buy this Eureka." And then I find out he's got a dirt devil at the house. I'm not going to want to buy nothing from him. Because if it ain't good enough for him, it ain't good enough for me.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't you try to sell me this Jesus if this Jesus is not everything to you. I know I detect it in your conversation. I detect it in your preaching. I detect it in your teaching. I detect it in your praying. You see people going around praying half-hearted and they want to say Jesus is everything. If he's everything, where's the passion?
That's good.
Hallelujah. Jeremiah wept. Come on, somebody. Jesus prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. Don't you tell me he wasn't praying with passion. Hallelujah. Number 6, beware the loss of Pentecostal preaching, praying, and worship. Hallelujah. Now, there's so much today that is so way off. But folks, we must not lose the preaching of this gospel.
Come on.
Everything is vying for that pulpit right now. They got rid of the altars very easily. Now they're after the pulpit.
Come on.
We want to turn our churches into drama places of drama.
Come on, brother.
Come on, folks.
Yes, sir.
You go to some churches, you hardly ever hear a sermon on Sunday night. It's a drama.
My God.
Amen. I'm not saying that drama might not have a place somewhere. I don't know where. But I'm just saying, you're not going to take my preaching time for your drama.
Amen.
Through the foolishness of preaching, Brother Britt, men are saved.
Yes,
Not the foolishness of drama.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Amen. If we're going to reach this world, they need to hear somebody preach.
Amen.
They hate preaching. Brother Britt, I think, said in his book, they hate preaching. Amen. Because it's authoritative.
Amen.
They can't stand it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And whether they like it or not, preaching is judgmental.
Come on.
Amen. Every time a real man of God preaches, it's judgmental.
Amen.
Glory. And there's a great war against being judging today.
Come on.
That's right.
I mean, a great war against that. It's become the 11th commandment.
That's right.
Thou shalt not judge.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's thrown at me every week.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
Amen.
I don't know how many times you can explain it to people. It's like you say, are you ever going to get this? Come on. Whoo! Hallelujah. You better bet. When I preach it, I'm judgmental.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When I'm witnessing, I'm judgmental.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is no other way you can be.
Amen.
Either a person's saved or they're not saved. And it's our duty to reveal that and offer to them a chance to repent.
Amen.
So preaching, there's a war on preaching. Some of these churches in the Houston area, they got fine arts ministers on the staff. Hallelujah. Amen. My cousin called me. He said I'm the fine arts pastor. He kind of had a little lisp there. I'm the fine arts pastor. Oh, Jesus. I've been trying to find that one in the Bible.
Come on, brother.
I just hadn't discovered it yet.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The fine arts pastor. Amen. My Lord. Amen. What we need is men of God. We need somebody to preach. Amen. We must not lose our Pentecostal preaching, our Pentecostal praying, and our Pentecostal worship. We were known for our preaching, brother. We were known for our prayer meetings. We were known for the worship. And so them people over there, they'll scare you to death when they start singing.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know there's some emotionalism out there. You got your Todd Bentleys and all that crazy stuff. And that's so obviously demonic. It's not a matter of wonder if. You know it is. But there's nothing wrong with worship. So, and I don't preach worship. I preach that which will produce worship. But we have to understand it's important that God's people know how to worship.
Yes,
we're going to heaven, and that's what heaven's going to be about.
Yes,
worship.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We must not lose that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Beware. The word beware is derived from the phrase be wary. It simply means to be careful, to be on guard, to take heed of danger, to be alert, to be watchful. We must beware lest we forget our God. We cannot afford to let down our guard for anything. Oh, we've got a full house. We've ate, we're full. We're drinking from a well we didn't dig, Brother Bruce. I'm going out there and I'm picking olives off of trees I didn't plant. I'm grabbing big old clusters of this Holy Ghost off them vines. I didn't plant those vines. I'm enjoying the benefits of somebody that went before me and worked hard.
Amen.
Somebody that labored into the midnights. Somebody that prayed all night prayer meetings. Somebody that preached on the street corner and had eggs thrown at them.
Yeah.
Come on. Somebody that went and rented a little building with broken windows and a roof that was leaking. And they'd get in there service after service. And they'd have church, water dripping from the ceiling. But they'd have church anyhow. I'm benefited for that.
Come on.
Amen.
That's right.
Yep.
If I'm not careful, we'll get everything just the way we want it. The nice carpet, the nice pulpit, the nice pews. And we'll forget God. And the next thing you know it, God will move on and find somebody else to raise up to do His work.
Amen.
Let me tell you, God won't deal with us forever. History is full of those, the husk of those carcasses that fell. And God says, I'm done with them. I'm moving to the next generation. History's full of them examples.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be another carcass dot in the desert.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be another carcass out there laying up there, amen, decaying away. Amen. There's religious carcasses all across America.
Right.
Amen.
At one time there was life there.
Amen.
It was vibrant.
Yes.
But it ceased to do God's will, and God let them fall and die. And he raised somebody else up to take their place. I don't want to be a carcass. Beware. Beware. Stand with me. Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I think we'll just all come to this front. I don't know what else, Pastor, you have. Is okay? Can we come to this front, church? Did you hear the warning? Would you come? I said, God, I'm taking heed. I'm taking heed. Hallelujah.